welcome to this brand new episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. This podcast is hosted by Mark van Horik and myself, Elias Krum. We're both from Marketing Guys in the Netherlands. Welcome, Menno Worst and Frank Struzowski from Melion to the Marketing Technology Podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah, hello, thanks.
Today we have you joining from Germany, Offenbach, where the Melion headquarters is. Frank, could you start to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, Frank Struzowski, but a very, very complicated last name. So, apart from that, I'm in the email industry since more than 15 years, full time. Before I have a degree in computer science, so an IT background, and I worked for more than 10 years in IT consulting in Europe, also in the US, also in strategic consulting. So I think I not only understand what technology does for business, but also what business needs we are facing. So I understand how marketers, people think, and how CEOs and CMOs tick. In order to present them the best solution and offer them whatever email marketing has to offer.
Wow! And can you explain explain a little about the company, your company, Melion?
Yes, the company is actually called XQ. We are focusing on email marketing, but increasingly also on multi-channel stuff. Our main product is an email planning technology that is called Melion. But we also offer other email solutions like an email verification tool, an email frequency optimization tool, also a durability platform, and consulting, of course. So this is the more or less the range of services that we offer, but our core product, our flagship product is Melion.
Okay, so for the listeners to be right, I was a little mistaken there. So Melion is your email marketing product, but the company name is XQ.
Right.
Okay, we'll share that in the notes, of course, the show notes, so people will know where to find you on LinkedIn and online. Then we have Menno also joining us. Menno, you are responsible for the Benelux area. Can you explain a little about your background and your approach to, well, you're doing the Melion product, but curious to hear more.
Yeah, of course. I've started 12 years ago after a master business administration at PostNL, Dutch postal company, in various roles. But mainly, I was active in the non-core. And with the non-core, I mean I was basically involved in the acquisition of Adaptive, where PostNL acquired Yourzijn and SearchResult, two leading direct marketing agencies. From that perspective, I was looking also at ESPs in the market, because the data we were using all kinds of ESPs, but we're not always happy or could not always fulfill the wishes of our clients. So we started an extensive RFP in the market and also invited Belgium and German parties to this RFP. And after the RFP, we concluded that Melion was the best solution for us to work with. And actually, I was so impressed by the solution of Melion and all the functional alternatives. But I started Melion Benelux with my founder, Bjorn van Bremen, my co-founder, after a long intensive meeting we had with Frank, and also his vision on the ESP market, but also broader on the market automation market. So we launched Melion Benelux. Since August this year, we're active, and we can also offer the tooling to all clients in the Benelux market.
Wow, good. So you're both into email marketing. So an obvious question for us to ask, isn't email dead?
Yeah, it's a great question. I just read a report, I think, 2 days ago. They were mentioning that the dinosaur email marketing is far from dead. It actually results in more conversion and effectiveness than Facebook or Snapchat or Twitter. And I think that the main reason for it is because you've got lots of possibilities with email marketing. And although it's already there 20, 25 years in the field as a marketing channel, we see that all the possibilities on marketing automation and combining data and dynamic contact actually shows a higher digital engagement than other channels. So it's far from that.
It's far from that. So, and it's very important. So I've taken a look at the website, the Melion website, XQ. I haven't seen yet, but probably I can find some reference cases there as well. You work for great brands, and I saw some names like Lufthansa, Karstadt in Germany. But you know, if you compare it to the Netherlands, where we have like a KLM, Dutch Airlines, or even PostNL, as Menno, as you said, those are big email senders. Especially for those senders, I can imagine it's very important to find the right email automation platform. So you have some experience in that request for proposal, that RFP. Menno, so you can probably tell listeners what they should look after in an email marketing solution. So because, you know, why should people choose for Melion or any other email marketing platform instead of, for example, MailChimp? For people that, you know, we have listeners with all kinds of experience levels. So some listeners might say, hey, I can get MailChimp for free. Why should I even bother looking for a paid version of any platform?
Yeah, it's a good question. We see a lot of clients who start email marketing with MailChimp. It's for free and you can send some newsletters, some regular newsletters. But if your company grows and also your clients grow and you want to basically gain more leads, do more on marketing automation and set up more trigger campaigns and campaign data via social channels or from a CRM system or CDP system, well, MailChimp just isn't good enough. And basically, they don't offer those functionalities as well. So as long as your company grows, you will find out that you will outgrow a tooling like MailChimp. And you have to convert to another ESP who offer these functionalities as well. And the main reason I found out that also other ESPs are lacking these functionalities, they've got a software legacy. So they've got all the software what functions very well like 10 years ago. But the current marketing automation technology field is changing so fast, so rapidly, and you guys know that as no other, that it's so important to integrate with all kind of APIs, systems, and toolings, and to make it basically just run like an automatic engine. That's what you want. You want not to think about how to set up a campaign. You want that your campaigns are run automatically. You have to think about the creative aspect about it, about the content, basically how you get more leads in or more clients in your company.
Mm-hmm. So can you name some functionalities apart from the API connections that email service providers like you offer that are more enhanced?
Yeah, like I love the recommendation engine Melion has.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what we do there, it's like a self-learning or machine learning recommendation engine. So based on your history on email clicks, opens, but also on your behavior on landing pages and other analytics, they can recommend your personal product offering or services. I think the other one is also great, but Frank can tell you more about. Automatically personalized sender times.
Okay. Frank, explain.
Normally if you send a campaign, you say, well, today at 4 p.m. I send to my complete list and that's about it. And it should go out as quickly as possible. Well, as it turns out, this may not be the optimal way of timing. Some people who are more advanced, did try different days of the week or different hours of the day. But even so, there is some money left on the table, especially since we see that certain people have certain preferences for their engagement, for their clicks in the email, and ultimately for their conversion. So what we do, we track, once we have permission, of course, we track for each individual email recipient and the subscriber. We track historical opens and clicks, and then we can come up with a recommendation on about when to send, what is the best time, minute, day, to send an email. So instead of saying at 4 p.m. today, the email goes out, you say, we start at 4 p.m. today, and we give an interval of, let's say, 10 hours or 70 hours or whatever you choose. And then within that interval, our platform Mailion chooses for each recipient where we have enough data to calculate personalized send-out date. We calculate this date, and then we postpone the email until this minute is reached, and then we send it out. And we get, on average, 3% more opens and some almost 6% more clicks, and also almost 5% more conversions.
Wow, that's impressive. So basically what you're telling us is that you have put machine learning into practice there. What other functionalities does Mailion offer that make the product unique?
Well, there's quite a number of initiatives. There's some stuff in the lab, but what we have already rolled out, for instance, is artificial intelligence used in processing all the incoming emails. Now, aren't we sending emails? Yes, we are sending emails, but you know, as you send emails, there's a lot of emails coming back, sometimes more than you send out, actually, because all of the incoming spam needs to be processed. And it needs to be separated in an automated and efficient way from, let's say, manual replies or autoresponders where people say, I'm on vacation. Mm-hmm. So for emails that come in that have manual replies, we have a trained algorithm, an AI algorithm, that detects them and forwards them to a customer center. And this is multi-language. So once our algorithm fails and you recategorize, let's say, one of these emails into an autoresponder category, then the AI in the background learns it and knows for the future that certain mails belong to another category. And these manual replies often are very useful, very important mails, because people have questions about products. They ask for better prices. They ask for volume discounts, whatsoever. So that's just one field. But we are experimenting with all kinds of things, with personalized, automatically generated subject lines, with text image ratios, length of emails, with image positions, snippet text, email header settings, IP address ranges, and so on. So there's many things that are basically tested and split test in the background by us. And once we find something that's interesting to pursue, then we basically go into research and come up with products. Also, we have an integrated email. Another example is an integrated email address verification service. And we have been very good at detecting spam traps in the list of our clients. And that helps them basically avoiding actual risk or potential risk of hitting spam traps and hurting their durability.
What we see in the Dutch market, for example, is that a lot of ESP list email addresses on the blacklist. It was great. You get a bad reputation sender score, and I can imagine that from an ESP perspective. But from a perspective from the marketeer, you always want to reach out as much as possible. So we can scan these email addresses automatically. So if we look at some of the blacklists we recently scanned, see roughly that 20 to 30% is falsely blacklisted. And for marketeers, that's, of course, a great value. They can now start a reactivation campaign on these blacklisted emails and try to engage them to do more stuff with their brand again.
Okay, so that sounds very good. Is all these enhanced features that you have, does that greatly improve the mail deliverability and therefore decreasing the chances that you get into the dreaded spam box?
Yes, definitely. So our clients tend to switch ESPs, and many of our clients have done durability tests. Just testing one ESP versus another. I think it should be done more often, because actually ESPs are mostly paid by email volume or by flat rate. So the ESP may not have a native interest to go every extra mile in order to deliver perfect durability. So durability is a kind of dead angle in the whole field of our business. And this is why I think there is a lot to be gained in durability, because many senders, because lack of KPIs, good KPIs, don't even know that their emails are ending up in the spam folder or not even there. They think perhaps it's a bad subject line or bad sending timing, but it may just be bad durability. Yeah, we do positive aspect, and that the address verification is just one aspect of our competency.
Okay, well, that's a very important thing, because what is the use of working very hard to create an email and setting up an email campaign if the receiver won't receive it? There's another part. If they receive the email, then of course another part comes along, and that is engagement. How do you, have you got any ideas how to improve engagement with the recipients of your mail?
And that's a very good question. Like what we see on delivery influencers, it's mainly driven by three main topics. So one is the infrastructure, what Frank was mentioning earlier, more the IT infrastructure part. The other one is the database, so the bounce management, your opt-ins, your complaint management, your sign-ups, etc. The content part is the third part. I think that's almost the most important part, and also neglected by a lot of brands. Because if you use videos, make sure they render well. Like if you brand your newsletter, make sure it's branded well. And also that it's relevant, because although you are not seen as spam, because people want to receive your newsletter or your email, if you're not relevant, that's what we see way often, you get treated as spam as well. So they say, yes, I want to be updated by this brand, and they can inform me on products and services. I want to know what's going on. But if the relevance is too low, or even if the materials are not of high quality, people will mark you as spam anyway. So that will basically disengage with your brand. And we see the opposite as well. So people who spend quite some time on creative part, think about the target groups, know to how to address them well with relevant content, you see a larger engagement, for sure.
What I've also noticed is a change. Very often the email marketing, the email is regarded as the messenger. You get the email, and the whole idea is that you click on something, so you go to a website or to a social media platform or whatever. So it's really the messenger part. But I've noticed that there is a change going on, and where the email message itself is the end goal, and the message is evoking real replies. Whilst very often, if you reply on an automated messenger, like from an email marketing perspective, then you go to like an info at company name .nl, and actually your reply gets lost in somewhere. But I see that there's much more that emails really evoke a response. Do you see that tendons also?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, engagement is the key question. And engagement in emails, unfortunately, was very restricted because of the technical restrictions of we were not able to send full emails. But this is about to change. So we see initiatives, most important probably Google AMP, so accelerated mobile pages for email, that will allow email campaigns to have all the transactions within the email. So we have not the full set of more than 100 functions that we see for websites, but we have a dozen or so functions that will give us the chance to create more interactive stuff, to have everything within the email. We are about to send our first AMP email to a German client for a Black Friday campaign this year, and we have the shopping transaction completely within the email. You don't have to leave the email. It will be an A-B split test, and I'm happy to inform you about the results, the true results. Unfortunately, it works only for Gmail right now and for mail.ru in Russia, and for the web version of Outlook.com addresses. Yahoo has announced support for it, but not committed to any concrete date or month or quarter.
Okay.
But very eager to see this re-engagement within the email. And I think it will be a huge step forward for the whole industry.
Now, we're also very proud that we are only three European ESPs for Google AMP Mail Ready. We're one of them. Always looking for innovative ideas to help our clients to increase engagement, and this is one of them.
Okay. Well, it's obviously that email is not dead.
No, email is not that. I do want to come back to, let's say, an earlier question Mark asked about email deliverability. Because I'm the hands-on guy, right? So I just like to know how stuff works, as do our listeners. What steps should email marketers go through to make sure that their email gets delivered? Is there like a few steps that they could go through, or could you give a few tips on how to get your email delivered into inboxes?
So this is a frequent question, and it's an important question, because an email not delivered doesn't generate revenue or doesn't generate engagement, doesn't generate response. Yeah, email delivery is I mentioned earlier, is a kind of it's often considered black magic, because some specialists do it. But it's becoming more and more a science. I just looked it up. Amazon has filed four or five patents in the last 5 years only about email deliverability.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that the engineers are looking at. What you can do, the first thing, you trust your ESP as a sender to get your email delivered, and your ESP will always say, yeah, we have optimal deliverability. I think it's a time to realize that if this is true, the best is you test. Do A/B split testing, also ESP1 versus ESP2. This is the first one to get quick results. Choose MailChimp or whatever, and split the list at random and see if you get better results at another ESP. And if you have the same timing and the same subject line, the same content, the same coding, then you see differences. And you will probably see differences. They're quite big, actually. And this is something where you can start talking to ESPs, what they really.
Okay, and is there a way people can look that up? Is there like maybe there's like a comparison online? Are you familiar with that, where people could, let's say, look that up, or do they have to test everything themselves?
I think you have to test yourself, because it's immensely multifactorial. I think it's more than 20 factors that influence durability. One is is address quality of your address pool. Mm-hmm. Once you have a list with a lot of spam traps, you can use any ESP you want. You won't get through, because you generate spam trap hits that are on public blacklists, and the public blacklist would immediately react. But this is a bad sender, this subdomain, this IP address is bad, and millions of spam filters will basically eat away your emails. Another one is content, of course. If you're not sticking to the content rules of email, your email get just bitten away by spam filters. Of course, all the technical infrastructure like SPF, DKIM, DMARC, and so on. This is the technical stuff in the background, ISP relations, even bounce management. It's not clear that if you have another ESP with a high bounce rate, that this ESP is worse, because perhaps the other ESP with lower bounce rates just as bad at detecting bounces. We've seen that too.
Yeah.
It was actually an ESP shootout a couple of years ago at the German Dialog Summit. And 10 ESPs sent to the same list, and bounce rates, there were like 500% differences in bounce rates for the same list. And so that's something that are so many factors. Unfortunately, there is no multi-ESP tool where you say, I have one email, I send it to 20 different ESPs, and I'll choose the best one. I wish there was one.
Yeah,
we would participate for sure.
So one thing you've obviously, what you've made very clear here is that it's very important to select the right email service provider, or ESP as you refer to them. Because in practice, what I see happen a lot is that basically also in RFPs, companies just are looking for, are any functionalities there? So are they there? Yes, no. And then if it's a yes, it's okay. And they're selecting on price, of course. But what you're saying is you should basically select on quality. And as with the high conversion rates, it's also very worthwhile investing to look into that and to use the right ESP, to select the right ESP.
Definitely. Even go a step further, challenge your ESP. You mentioned, at the beginning, you mentioned the example where you send your test campaign and you call your colleagues and your friends and family and they haven't just arrived.
Mm-hmm.
So then I would call my ESP and say, can I please talk to the durability expert? And if they don't have one, then, that's a clear signal. And if they have one, then say, please give me the mail server log files. I want to see the email delivery attempts to the mailboxes. I want to know if the receiving mail server didn't accept the mail because of some, let's say, back server rule violations,
mm-hmm.
or if the email was bouncing and the bounce was not really processed by the ESP. And yeah, just ask this question. Where are these emails? Please send me the log files or the log of the email delivery attempt history. And then, yeah, take a timer and look at the time, how long it takes to do that.
Well, that's a very good suggestion. Actually, go to the party that is responsible for delivering it and ask proof if everything is okay.
Yeah.
Instead of, oh, it just disappeared or the system doesn't work. People are blaming the wrong people.
Another one is sender score. Look at the reputation of the IP addresses. Look at the email header. I mean, it's 2 minutes, 30 seconds work. Look at the sender IP. Go to senderscore.org, put in the IP address, and if the sender score is below 80, then I would invite the ESP for some nice coffee and cookies and ask why some explanation. Why this is happening. And
still on RFPs nowadays, you see a lot of people who don't even ask the sender scores.
No, true. Well, and I've seen that. It's usually just on pricing and specs, but not on.
I think that this part also falls in a gap, because the marketeers, they want to make great creative mails. So that's the front end. And then everything what's on the back end, SPF, DKIM, DMARC. What the hell is that IT department? An IT department sees it doesn't have that relationship with the email. So it gets in the middle somewhere, I guess.
Yeah, you're totally right. Yeah, we like to discuss with potential clients, like what is your goal with email marketing? I mean, in the end, email is just a channel. Just a channel. It's very effective to gain new clients or sell more products or services. And let's talk about that. And we can almost make a promise that if we look at the current setup of the campaigns, we can increase the revenue, engagement, and these kind of discussions we hardly had in the past. They were only looking at functionalities versus price, even worse, only on CPM level. What does it cost me if I send 10 million emails per month? It's not relevant at all.
Correct. You've definitely helped me there in getting that very clear, because I think for our listeners, this is very important information on what to look in and what to look after in when you're selecting an ESP, because it's just not specs and pricing. It's also about quality, and basically what you're saying, the price per email or credits, as they're referred to sometimes, are not important when you look into the results.
No, and there was actually a large research in the United States a few months ago. You saw that as the level of return on investment on email marketing.
Mm-hmm.
On every dollar they spent on email marketing, you could gain as much as $44.
44, wow.
So imagine that. So you spend one dollar and you get 44 back. Of course, you have to do it with a trustworthy ESP with lots of functionalities. But still, I mean, if that's your marketing channel, I would spend more than $1 on it.
Yeah, the ROI is pretty clear there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So thank you very much for sharing all this very interesting stuff, because it certainly opened my eyes here. And
we're completely wide-eyed open at the moment.
So thank you very much, Frank and Menno. Frank said, you would like to share some stuff after Black Friday. We're probably going to invite you back on the podcast after Black Friday, because Black Friday is like D-Day for email marketing, right? So I want to hear more about that. And I want to see some examples, hear about some examples there. And I'm looking forward to our next conversation.
Yeah, great. We as well. And I think we can also give you a scoop then regarding email volumes.
Wow.
Probably going to break a new record here.
Cool.
Okay, so this is
part one, to be continued. To be continued somewhere in December, probably.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes and subscribe to our iTunes channel. Also, if you want to be interviewed on this podcast, or if you have any questions on marketing technology, send me an email on e.crum@marketingguys.nl. Thank you.